Hello and welcome to the Unisys Technology Webinar. All participants will be in listen-only mode. You may submit online questions at any time today using the window on the webcast. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to John Tanwanteng, Director at CJS Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning. Thank you all for joining us today. My name is John Tanwanteng. I'm the covering analyst for Unisys at CJS Securities. As a reminder, we have a market outperform rating on the Unisys shares with an $18 price target, and we're more than happy to discuss the rationale behind our investment offline after the call. It's my pleasure to introduce from Unisys Courtney Holben, VP of IR, Dan Kane, who's also on the IR team, and our guest of honor, Vishal Gupta, who will be the presenter for the webinar today. Vishal is Unisys' Chief Technology Officer, and he oversees the development and deployment of the company's products, services, and technology, from software to hardware, security to cloud, and artificial intelligence and everything in between. I think today will be valuable for investors who understand generally what Unisys does, but doesn't quite understand how quickly the technology landscape is changing along with customer needs, and how much value Unisys can deliver against that. Also, we think it's important to know how the market strategy, the go-to-market strategy, has evolved after a three-year restructuring plan that really drilled down and expanded upon some of the best-in-class core competencies and technologies within their product stack. So Vishal is going to give us a 25-minute presentation on the company's offerings, their strategy, how they go about solving customer problems, and also discuss the current and emerging trends and technologies relevant to their space. Afterwards, we'll kick off the Q&A, and I understand that viewers and listeners will be able to submit their questions in written format through the webinar interface. So without further ado, Vishal, thanks for your time, and go ahead.
Thank you, John, and thank you for all the folks who joined in. So it's a pleasure to be here. I've called my presentation Fostering Innovation at Unisys, and that's because innovation is key to powering both our technology and our services business. So let's start with a disclaimer first. And I think all of you are aware of how these calls run, so we want to make sure you're aware of the disclaimer. And how we want to get started is really talk about how first the technology landscape is evolving. Because if we have a common understanding of that, we can talk about how Unisys is putting its technology strategy to really foster well in that landscape. So if you think about the market, I think about that in terms of three ways. What was the past, what's the present, and where are the things going, which we call as the leading edge. And the big takeaway I want you to have is that there is a very significant opportunity that's getting created by security, by cloud, and digital. In the past, the world was a structured waterfall world where through virtualization, you know, we got some scale economies, we thought about on-prem systems, monolithic systems, and that's the world that existed for a long time. Obviously, for the last several years, things have moved to much more agile. Unisys has made that same transformation as well. Things move to containers, so it drives, you know, ease of application deployment from a both on-prem and cloud perspective. People started adopting, instead of a monolithic application, breaking it down into components, microservices, embracing public cloud primarily for agility and, you know, kind of starting to really do a lot of transformation from a cost savings perspective, but with bolt-on security, not thinking about security built from scratch. Obviously, Unisys with ClearPath had a different approach. We designed a secure operating system from scratch. But that's not where things are stopping. Where they're really going is the leading edge. And that involves not just development agility, but DevSecOps together. That involves leveraging a lot of emerging technologies like AI, machine learning, blockchain, biometrics. And biometrics, again, has huge potential to transform our experiences. And then not just an embrace of a public cloud, but an embrace of multi-cloud. Because people have, you know, their Office 365, typically in Azure, then they have a few applications in AWS, SaaS applications. They're increasingly looking at leveraging edge technologies. And so what that leading edge gives them is that end-to-end visibility, even if they don't own that infrastructure. They start thinking much more about integrated security, not security post facto from deployment. A lot around intelligent automation and not just basic automation. And thinking about transforming not just the cost, but also transforming the top line, because these technologies can give you that higher productivity, that lower fraud, and really a differential experience. So now that we know where the leading edge is going, the question is, how do we, as Unisys, embrace that opportunity and truly master it? So we've really launched about 4 quarters back, 4 key technology initiatives. And we launched these technology initiatives really aligned to all our 5 IP-led solutions. The Clear Path Forward, which is the heart and soul of your digital business. Scout, which is the offering which we were trying to really create as a leading offering in the security market to implement that zero trust where the market is growing. Cloud Forte, which is increasingly a huge opportunity for us in terms of really creating those digital guardrails. And then IntelliServe, which is for user-centric experiences, and all of these surrounded by these industry solutions. So across our 5 IP-led solutions, 3 of which are very technology product-centric, and CloudFort and IntelliServe, which are really our leveraged service offerings, which are powered by technology, we've really launched a big initiative about 4 quarters back when I joined to really drive, one, it's all about experience. So we focused on developing this modern and intuitive UI UX across each of these. So it's easy to use, demonstrate, and operate these technologies. We launched a big focus for microservices-based architecture to give us the speed. And that speed transcends both how fast we release things and how we integrate them with each other and with the rest of the ecosystem. We've launched a lot of focus around emerging technologies because those give us the innovation that the customers are looking for, including AI, including biometrics and blockchain, that create that further differentiation. And next year, we're also launching more focus around, so around 5G and quantum. And then we've also started really focusing a lot around cloud first and edge. So that way we give our customers that agility that they're looking for. Now let's see, given these technology initiatives that I'm talking about, how they manifest themselves in individual IP-led solutions. So let's start with ClearPath, which is, you know, a huge, of big importance to Unisys, and how we're truly trying to innovate in this digital high-performance, high-computing space. So as many of you know, ClearPath has always been known. Unisys has been known for security, for high performance, and high availability. So we wanted to obviously, take that forward. But as we talk to customers, as we talk to the CIOs, and we ask them, what are your biggest challenges? What's going to make a truly strategic platform for you? We heard 3 key things. One, we heard from these customers that really, while they really appreciate ClearPath, it's got to fit into their overall modernization strategy. And so we've really launched both innovation workshops to explain the art of the possible, and then create capability within ClearPath. And this is the work that was already there, and we're strengthening it so that way it can integrate seamlessly with the modern front end, with the microservices architectures that the enterprises have, and with the modern backend, where our customers can leverage not just the database that we provide, but also be able to interoperate with all of the other modern databases. So that way, ClearPath can be truly integrated as part of that modern digital transformation. The second thing we heard from customers was they want choice. They want choice to be able to run ClearPath anywhere and anyhow they want. This means, as you see in the diagram on the left, integrated system, where we provide the software and the hardware, a software-based architecture, which we call a software series, which we started that journey, as 2-3 years back, but now we're ensuring in that software architecture, it has the same parallel performance as the hardware architecture. So it's got all the same version that can go all the way up to what we call a platinum version. And then clearly, as customers embracing cloud, they would like to see how this fits in cloud as well, how ClearPath could run in an AWS, in an Azure, perhaps with VMware, perhaps with other hypervisor technologies. And so we've started to partner with several customers there. Later this quarter alone, we are releasing for two significant partners a ClearPath version that will run in Azure, which those partners are working with us very closely on. And then we're also drinking our own champagne. So given ClearPath actually powers many of Unisys' own applications that run our business, we're actually migrating, starting to migrate those applications. So in this month of October, some of those applications in ClearPath will start running in Azure as well. And by end of, by early January next year, all 13 of our applications in ClearPath will be running in Azure. So I think that gives our customers great confidence that we're serious about this run anywhere strategy, and it becomes more of a strategic asset as opposed to something that's out separately from the rest of digital infrastructure. The third big innovation that our customers have been looking for is they know the ClearPath, you know, a lot of the ClearPath applications were written in the past in COBOL and ALGOL, but they also want to make sure they're able to attract the modern workforce, which likes to write in the modern languages, like Python, like others. And, you know, we've given an update on this in the past, that we tested technical availability of Python for one of our architectures, which was OS 2200. We saw the technical feasibility there. Our customers asking us to not just have that run on OS 2200, but also on our other version, which is MCP. And they want these languages to actually leverage the current database, the current communication infrastructure, and they want to not just leverage Python, they also want to support other languages as well. And so we've created a very exciting roadmap that enables them to do that and do that in a secure manner. So that way they can have the benefit of both modernizing their existing languages. They can coexist in a hybrid architecture where they could have a combination of both of these languages running, as well as they can use expand ClearPath in the environment to run many other adjacent applications. Hopefully this gives you a good view of how we're innovating in digital. Now let's look around security. As Peter has mentioned many times, security is probably the number one focus for Unisys. It's an area that you know, we're increasingly seeing massive traction with. And I think as we look ahead at 2019 onwards, we are already relevant. You know, already Gartner has listed us in their kind of magic quadrant when it comes to stealth. But we really want to go from relevance and winning a lot of awards, which we just did in the RSA, to true market leadership. And I come myself, I was SVP at Symantec in the past, so I come with a deep security background. And so in the world of security, to help us take true market leadership at scale there, we're doing three key things. One, we're making sure that our security offerings can become a true platform. And so as you see at the bottom, we're adding additional use cases around things like containers, around things like compliance. And so by the end of this quarter, we believe we'll have seven use cases that stealth will be able to be key for. These are the use cases that are of very high value, whether it's for IoT devices or for your endpoint or your cloud workloads or even your containers. And so that's the first step in the journey. The second step is any enterprise or a federal agency really want these things to run at scale. They want them to run for the entire digital infrastructure. Scale involves making things easy. And so we have actually done a lot of work this year in stealth, and we'll continue to do that work to make it very easy to use, very easy to deploy, where we even have cases where even if stealth was not present on a particular endpoint and we detected that it was needed based upon a security event we see, we can actually deploy it, and it can dynamically isolate a given device which is having an issue in 60 seconds or less. So we believe that's going to be massive. The third key thing, as you see in this diagram on the top, is CISOs look for outcomes. They don't want another shiny object. And so it's all around integrating health with the rest of the ecosystem. That's why in December we had this vision for introducing what we call as this layer in the middle called the security integration platform. We made that vision come alive this year. We've gone from 2 integrations to already now 10 integrations. And as you can see with some of the logos on the top, these are some of the key market leaders, whether it's an Azure or AWS or a ServiceNow or some of the endpoint protection systems. And this is an area we'll continue to build with at a very massive speed. So that way we can operate at scale, we can solve as a platform many use cases, and we can be very easy to integrate and deploy across the ecosystem that the customer's got. And so we feel very good about our innovation and security. Now let's talk about our third and what I think in future is going to be a massive opportunity for us, and that's cloud. Cloud, as we all know, is perhaps the big transition that's happening in our time. But in cloud, what people are looking for is not just, hey, can I migrate to cloud? But what they're really looking for is a holistic end-to-end solution for that multi-cloud, hybrid cloud world, because they'll still have data centers for some time. Most of the enterprises or agencies that we talk to have investments in both AWS and Azure, some even in GCP. And so really there, what customers are looking for is the drivers that you see on the top, and they're looking for a vendor who can provide them both the relevant services, work across all of the different architecture types that they have, and give them true competitive advantage. How we are doing that, how we've started to build this stuff for real scale, is one, we call this CCOE, Cloud Center for Enablement. And there we are training perhaps one of the biggest people's bases who are certified in AWS, in Azure. We've already now gone from what used to be about 200 number of people last year to now 1,200 people who are fully certified in AWS and Azure. As well as we've built very deep partnerships with AWS and Azure as their premium partners, which give us a lot of capability. In addition to all the best practices and how do you onboard on the cloud and all the other pieces, Stealth, as you saw from earlier, we press release this week, is now certified to secure the workload in many different ways with both AWS and Azure. And so we have, we believe we have a very differentiated security story. And we're actually adding a number of other technology pieces to it. So one of the recent ones that we just announced last month is this concept called the Unisys Cloud Navigator. And there the concept is really, if you think about cloud as a race car that customers want to get on, what they really need are these digital guardrails. And these guardrails really comprise the best practices, whether it's on security or availability, compliance, or high performance. And we have working very closely strategically with AWS and with Azure. We've come out with these about 100 plus security, about 100 plus best practices, which we can automatically evaluate a workload on. And so given the cloud is distributed and people can spin up workloads, in a very distributed way. In the past with IT, you had full control. With cloud, you could have 100 different accounts. And so it's very hard in the current environment for people to really say were those workloads spun up with all of those right best practices, and those digital guardrails will enable them to do just that. And so that, we believe, is yet another differentiator we've got. We're not just stopping there. As we look at next year, we're building some additional capabilities with AI, what we call as AI ops, so we can really help our customers get to this zero incident world. And we're also building these experiences called the cloud management platform, which will work across that multi-cloud, hybrid cloud world, and will provide them all the relevant integrations so they can get in the cloud, be optimized in it, be secure and compliant, and also modernize their apps in it. And so we feel very good about this third platform on the cloud with Cloud Forte and how it's setting us up. Now let's talk about the last bit of it, which is another significant business for Unisys, which is our what we call as a digital workplace services. And this comprises of things like, you know, how do you manage end user devices? How do you manage their applications? How do you manage the call center or the contact center an enterprise or an agency may have? And how do you manage their and do field engineering for them? And so here, our big opportunity here is truly around how do we infuse a lot of machine learning and automation and intelligent automation so that way we can give people not just a great experience, but we can do that also at great margins for Unisys as well. So there, we really have a three-part strategy. First, we're making sure we're bringing the best of both what we have in our services side and technology side. Our services is excellent at working very collaboratively with the customer at truly understanding their needs. And as you know, we're already in the Gartner Magic Quadrant on digital workplace services. And so what we're doing is we're creating the technology platform to support that journey and make that platform truly enterprise grade. And the benefit of that is this means that, you know, we can actually support the customer in any language they want. So this gives us very good capability in Asia Pacific and Europe. It will work across all the modes, meaning whether the customer wants to interact with us in on an Android or iOS or a web browser or an application or a PC, is the same code base that will work seamlessly across all of them. And it will give them all the key integrations. So just like in security we saw with SIP, how we were integrating the whole ecosystem, similarly here, as you see on the left, we are really building this integrated ecosystem, which will have integrations with the ServiceNow, the Stealth, all of the other capabilities, almost eight different integrations. So that way, we could have a truly enterprise-grade platform that we could power our customers with. The second step in this journey is really giving game-changing innovation to our customers so we can have better differentiation at winning opportunities. So here we're leveraging things like intelligent virtual agents, what we call an enterprise personal assistant, where we're integrating that intelligent virtual agent with, we're integrating a lot of automation RPA capabilities with. So that way, when there is an incident, we want to be able to automatically resolve that incident with AI, at least all the top 8 to 10 use cases. And then for the pieces that can be resolved, we want to make sure they're routed intelligently with the right context to the right customer agent to be able to, you know, resolve this problem in the right way. So there again, we're starting to leverage AI to be predicting, to do predictive maintenance, to do predictive analysis, and to provide the right level of automation. The third part of the strategy here is, people, our customers are saying, you know, as their employees consume these services, they want that level of personalization for them. So there we are creating the centers of excellence, which can, while this is a horizontal offering, those centers of excellence can give them that vertical alignment, that vertical, how do you position these use cases so their employees and the partners can have the best experience. And also, in our field services, we are starting to leverage interesting capabilities for field technicians as well, so that way they can resolve a lot of these things remotely. They can leverage things like smart glasses to be able to guide each other, to be able to have a higher productivity. And so, again, the focus of the platform here is to drive a level of both differentiation, personalization, and higher margins from an automation perspective. So far I've talked about where the market is going from a technology perspective. What are our technology initiatives to take leadership as a leading edge player in that market? What are the four examples, starting with digital, with ClearPath, with security, with the Stealth, Cloud Forte for cloud, and then IntelliServe for digital workplace? How are we really getting these things to be four truly platform plays so we can position Unisys very brightly for the future? from a both technology and services perspective. So in the last slide, from a summary perspective, what I would say is when you're trying to drive a transformation, there are a couple of things you need. One, you need to focus on the right opportunity, and that's where we're focused on the opportunity being created by cyber, digital, and cloud. Two, you need to make sure that you can drive true innovation and true differentiation to develop those customer outcomes, and that's what you see with the examples I gave. And third, you have to make sure your team can actually step up to deliver that. And so what we've actually done is over the last 9 months, we've actually taken our technology team through really extensive training across all of those initiatives that you see on the right, AIML, blockchain, cloud, microservices, modern UI and UX, where our team has completed over 5,000 learning tracks. It's one of the largest talent transformation. And what that is doing for us is we've gotten other people, we're focused on the right thing, and we're strategically partnering with our customers and partners like an AWS and Azure or a ServiceNow or Dell. So we build things for real scale, for real innovation with them, and we create an environment of continuous learning for our teams so we can take market leadership in the future. So that is what I had. Happy to maybe we can request the operator to play a short video so you can see how we are driving the strategic partnership with the rest of the ecosystem, and then we'll take Q&A.
Despite significant improvements, no threat prevention technology is entirely foolproof. Incidents of ransomware attacks have recently made headlines for bringing business operations to a halt. Experts believe that the lack of a reliable backup and recovery capability is one of the key reasons why many organizations submit to extortion, many times without ever recovering the locked data. And ransomware is not the only attack that organizations worry about. With cyber recovery emerging as an effective counter-strategy against cyber attacks, it is also becoming a target of attacks to destroy backups, and thus increasing the likelihood of extortion payments. However, organizations are challenged to secure the golden copies of the critical data and configurations. Traditional threat prevention technologies cannot be trusted, as they continue to present the same shortcomings that enabled hackers to execute a successful attack in the first place. The Dell EMC Cyber Recovery solution combines data isolation with business continuity capabilities to minimize the impact of an attack. Cyber Recovery Vault dramatically reduces the attack surface by air-gapping the cyber recovery environment from the rest of the corporate network. Complementing cyber recovery is Unisys Stealth, a software-based proven cybersecurity solution that provides the highest level of security for the Dell EMC Cyber Recovery Vault. Stealth adds a cryptographic air gap in addition to the logical air gap to the Dell EMC Cyber Recovery Vault. Stealth's cryptographic perimeter around the cyber vault enables only the whitelisted users and devices to connect with the cyber recovery vault based on user identity. Defense-grade encryption protects data in motion against man-in-the-middle attacks. And Stealth's unique cloaking technology conceals the entire cyber recovery vault, making it undetectable by unauthorized users. Identity-based microsegmentation creates functional microsegments and enforces a granular level of security policies within the vault. For example, if the security analytics server tries to gain unauthorized access to the recovery server, Stealth prevents it from doing so. Finally, Stealth offers even finer-grained control of process flows within the Cyber Recovery Vault network. For example, you may want to give the Cyber Recovery Vault sole authority to initiate a connection to the recovery targets, but not the other way around. Today, security threats have exponentially expanded in scope and seriousness. There are millions or even billions of dollars at risk. The Dell EMC Cyber Recovery solution with Unisys Stealth offers a combination of cyber recovery and maximum security that organizations need to protect against data destruction, ransomware, and many more sophisticated cyber attacks. Together, Unisys and Dell are helping businesses and government maintain operational continuity by enabling swift recovery from destructive cyber attacks. Learn more about Dell EMC Cyber Recovery with Unisys Stealth.
Great. So this is Courtney Holbin from Unisys. Vishal, thank you so much for walking us through the presentation. And for the folks on the line, we'll now be happy to also have Vishal take us through the question and answer portion of the conversation. So we'll open things up to questions from both John and anybody online. And as John mentioned at the start of the discussion, if you have questions, feel free to type them into the online function and we'll help get those to Vishal here. Before we get started on that, I just want to remind everybody that Vishal's role at the company is Chief Technology Officer, and so he, of course, can speak to anything related to our technology solutions and strategy, but he won't be the right person to address general questions around financial performance or topics outside of technology. So to the extent that you have those types of questions, please feel free to reach out to either John or myself offline. But with that, I'll turn it over to John to kick off the Q&A, and then we'll take any questions that come through online as well.
Great. Thanks, Courtney. And Vishal, thank you again for that insightful presentation into your products and strategy. While we wait for questions to come in online, Vishal, maybe you can start it off by discussing the opportunity that you see for ClearPath Forward. It seems like you're addressing a lot of the feedback from your core clients there. But does migrating to the cloud and adding more language support and some of the things that you're doing under the hood there actually expand the market for this product at all?
Yeah, that's a great question. And maybe I'll come back to the slide to give you some color there, John. I think the best way to maybe address this question is I'll talk about a recent conversation we had with a group of customers. So in May this year, we hosted for the first time what we called as the CIO Forum. And we brought together about 10 of our biggest customers, and we wanted to really engage them at the CXO level. So we brought their CIOs together. And 8 of those customers were ClearPath customers, and I asked them the question. I said, as you guys think about mid to long term, how many of you would like ClearPath to run in the cloud? And I had no idea when I asked the question what the answer would be because, many of these customers run very high mission-critical workloads in it, and so there's a lot of focus on security, and so I didn't really know where they would go. And what was interesting was 7 out of the 8 hands went up, where they gave us very clear direction from some of the largest customers that, hey, we would like to, over the medium term, get ClearPath to cloud, but we need to do that in a secure manner. So when we got that input in sort of early May, we realized 2 things. One, our customers are certainly open to making the journey for ClearPath to cloud, but security, which has been the clear differentiator for ClearPath, is the paramount factor. And 2, they're really looking for assistance from us in making that journey. And so what we started to do was to, A, integrate ClearPath and Stealth very closely together. So because as you take ClearPath to cloud, while ClearPath itself is secure, right, the cloud itself has a number of security vulnerabilities that have to be addressed. And so we saw an opportunity to actually increase our market in that way. The second opportunity we saw was that, they're looking for Unisys to truly guide them because they're running their most mission critical workloads. And so they want guidance, very similar to how our Cloud Forte customers are asking us for guidance to say, how do I not just move this application in a secure way, but how do I do that in a way which can still create the high level of performance, high level of availability, and leverage of some of the new capabilities in terms of AI and other things that the cloud can offer, which is fantastic news for us because it will increase our MIPS. And so, I was actually at a keynote earlier this week in Minnesota when we brought together about 50 of our ClearPath customers, and we showed to them how not only can we take ClearPath to cloud, how we are doing it ourselves and with some of the key partners, but how Stealth and Cloud Forte can play a key role in that journey to both drive it in a secure manner and give you the relevant best practices to drive it. And so I think, John, this gives us a very interesting opportunity to not just retain these customers from a longer term perspective, which is where we were initially coming from, but to also be able to upsell to them Stealth and Clear and Cloud Forte initially for ClearPath, but then across many other digital use cases as well. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you. That's very helpful. And maybe just to follow up on that, you mentioned obviously deploying ClearPath Cloud Edition internally. You know, how many other of your own products and services have you deployed within the organization in order to improve efficiency and returns, and kind of, you know, what have you seen as a result so far?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, you know, we have a very strong both CISO, I think Matt, who had recently, I think, presented also to this group. And we also have a very strong CIO, Pinder, at Unisys. And we call them customer one, right? That they are our first customer to truly test out, because we ourselves have 20,000 plus employees. We have hundreds of locations. We are in so many different countries. And so we present a great use case for testing ourselves out, how well the technology works, what are the outcomes that technology enables, and sometimes what the gaps are, because sometimes we learn about gaps as well as we do these large-scale deployments before we take it, you know, at enterprise scale with every customer. And so, you know, we are actually, there's a lot of learning we're seeing as we're taking, for example, ClearPath to Azure, and we are actually sharing that learning with our customers, and our customers really appreciate that because they're seeing how we're integrating Stealth ourselves with ClearPath. They're seeing how we will be doing DevOps in the cloud with their. They're seeing how the application modernization will happen. And so that gives them a lot of confidence that nobody wants to be the first one making the journey. And so by becoming the first one in many of these use cases ourselves, we take a lot of the risk out, as well as end up sharing a lot of the learnings with our customers. One other very interesting deployment that we recently had was for Stealth. So Stealth, when I joined about a year and a quarter ago, you know, was used by us primarily for data center, and we also were using it, say, for some of the IoT devices. What we, you know, we had already done, Upinder had done some very nice work with putting Stealth also for some of the AWS workloads, but we had not really rolled out Stealth for each endpoint, each PC or each Mac device that we had. And when I inquired, the reason was that we really didn't have a compelling use case to drive that big deployment. And so that's where, you know, working together with a CISO, Matt, we came out with this very interesting use case for dynamic isolation that said, hey, if we detect that, you know, there is some type of a security issue we see on a device, we want to be able to dynamically isolate the device in 60 seconds or less, so that way, you know, that device, depending upon the type of issue we see, you know, does not become a source of spreading the infection to everything else. And once we came up with that use case and that use case worked well, we found the reason to deploy a Stealth to all of our own devices, and now we're actually doing it where with a number of other large customers, they're seeing large value in not just deploying Stealth for data centers or cloud, but also across all the endpoints and how that works with all the EPP platforms that are there. So it becomes more of a response platform. And so we are end up having a lot of learnings from these deployments to both make sure our technology can operate in an easy way, it can operate at scale, and it can create some real outcomes, which is really what the customers are ultimately looking for.
Okay, great. Maybe one more, and then we'll open it up to the viewers' questions. It's clear that you're listening to your customers' feedback and kind of what they're looking for. What are they most desperate for in your discussions with them? And more importantly, what are they most willing to pay for from a technology and services standpoint? What's really front of mind for them? And you know, how are you focusing specifically on that to deliver whatever it is, whatever solution it is that they're looking for?
Sure. And that's a great question, John. I think for any business to be successful, it has to, you know, not only listen, but partner very strategically with its customers, with its partners, And what we're hearing, two big themes from our customer base. The first theme we're hearing from them is that, you know, they want business outcomes. So it's less about, you know, how does the technology look like, but they want the technology to deliver true business outcomes. So to give you an example, you know, as we're working with some of our cloud customers, they're saying, you know, this cloud journey is great, but I'm just not getting the cost savings I thought I'll get when I move to cloud, or that I'm spending too much in worrying about how do I going to be, you know, doing all the security, or I've done more of a lift and shift, but how do I really get the transformational benefits that cloud was supposed to deliver? And so as they look towards Unisys to really help them drive those business outcomes, it gives us the opportunity to partner with them in both defining what outcomes they want from our advisory services perspective, and then from a technology platform and a technology services perspective in actually delivering those outcomes. And so, for example, you know, one of the big areas of opportunity, as I mentioned to you, we're seeing is really with our Cloud Forte platform, where people want first a lift and shift, then the modernization, then the compliance. Then they want to make sure from a cost outcome perspective, you know, how that whole platform is giving them the visibility, is kind of recommending things. Hey, where should you be using reserve instances, where you should not be. And then ultimately, you know, they want that full visibility across both the data center and all the cloud investments so they can optimize it and they can take advantage of some of the newer things the cloud is offering. The other feedback we're hearing is, AI is becoming mainstream. So in a lot of the conversations we're having with our customers, they're asking for us to help them create a data lake. They're asking us for help in actually creating a culture of how do I leverage data, how do I leverage machine learning. We ourselves have gone from zero products that leveraged AI 15 months back to end of next quarter, we'll have 5 products that leverage AI. And even in stealth, we just did some work with an analyst who will be releasing this report on Zero Trust, where when they looked at stealth and they saw how we were using AI to not just discover the data in a customer's network, but to categorize the data automatically and to recommend what policies to deploy, they said this is the most interesting use of AI they've seen any company drive. And so I think these are the two big trends we're seeing, John, from our customers, one around driving business outcomes and how we can partner with them to do so, and two, in really leveraging emerging technologies like AI and blockchain and giving them that competitive advantage and helping them not just leverage those technologies, but also training their workforce and creating a culture to do that.
Great. Thank you, Vishal. Operator, can we take some of the questions? I think Courtney will be asking them.
Yes. Hi, John. Thanks. So we've gotten two questions, from Al Moniz at Boundary Creek and one from Dennis Scannell at Rutabaga. They're actually both fairly similar, so I'll kind of combine them into one. But they're really asking about some of the automation and AI initiatives, sounding like some products and services offered by some of the contact center SaaS providers, and wanting to understand a little bit better about the competitive landscape in terms of who else has some similar products, you know, who we come up against in some of these situations. And I'll probably broaden it out, maybe since we've already spent some time on ClearPath Forward and we spent some time on the last webinar around stealth. Maybe, Vishal, you can just spend a little bit of time around Cloud Forte and IntelliServe, just to give a little bit more color from a competitive perspective in terms of how Unisys offerings compare to some of the other offerings that are out there.
Sure. Yeah, so I think I'll talk a little bit about both Cloud Forte and IntelliServe. You know, on the Cloud Forte side, when people are getting on the cloud, they're looking for 3 or 4 capabilities, right? One is they're looking for security. Obviously, I think there, with the work we have done on both the federal side, as well as the work we have done on our own public cloud and the number of enterprise customers we've got, stealth, we're seeing very, very good traction with it. And we're also seeing it play very nicely with some of the other offerings, say from Palo Alto or others that are there. So it becomes very complementary. The second big thing that customers from a technology perspective look for in cloud is some type of a cost analysis. So there, we didn't necessarily want to build our own capability. You know, there's a number of people who have a cloud cost analytical capability. So we are more kind of leveraging that from another provider, but then adding a bunch of value add on top. The third thing people are looking in the cloud for, which we believe we're very uniquely positioned, we haven't seen anybody else have in the market, is this concept of digital guardrails, because you know, the cloud architects are very expensive, right? These guys cost at least $200K or more, and people can't hire so many of them who will tell them all the right best practices to leverage for each of the workload they've got. And so we think this is a very interesting differentiator for us. We have looked at tools, other tools in the market like an Evident.io or RedLock, and they really are more just focused only on security, but this tool is actually focused on the best practices across each of those five areas and being able to assess the workload, being able to show how it is meeting or not meeting those best practices and what the organization's policies ought to be and whether those policies are actually getting implemented or not. And so the fact that Azure even worked with us to come out with those, you know, is giving us a lot of confidence. In fact, Azure is offering us to put it in their marketplace and help us take it to market. So we think this whole UNAV tool, Unisys Cloud Navigator, which we just introduced about a month back, I think is something that we are, you know, very excited about. And we think this one is a true differentiator. I think the last bit of technology in the cloud is kind of a cloud management platform. That part, I would say, is not a differentiation, because most there we have to be more, you know, do what none other people do, which is there the market requirement is more to have something that can provide a single pane of glass to manage, you know, both the different cloud workloads as well as a data center. So I think there we're building a capability on top of other third-party stuff and then adding some more capabilities to it. But I think that will be more of a what I would call a table stakes. But things around stealth, things around the cloud navigator, things around the AI ops bit, which I had talked about earlier, which help you get to this zero incident. In this prototype that we're running for AI ops for a customer, we're finding we can save them almost 35% to 40% in their cloud spend. If through AI we are able to predict exactly what the memory, the storage, the compute, the network ought to be based upon knowing how the application behaves over time. And so we think that from an automation and AI perspective is a very interesting use case that will give us differentiation. So hopefully that shows you for Cloud Forte some elements which we think we have real differentiation and some where we think it's more of having more of a table stakes, like on the cost side or the management platform side. Then coming to IntelliServe, here again, you know, there is definitely a lot of competition in the market in terms of what I would describe as, you know, some level of a conversational capability, right? So most people have some capability to be able to resolve some number of things and be able to, essentially do what I would call as intelligent routing. Where I think we are developing our capability and our differentiation is to make that truly enterprise grade. Because when you make it enterprise grade, then you can go to an enterprise and say, you know, if you are distributed and you are in many, many countries speaking many, many languages, working across many different devices, you want something that works across all of those use cases. And you want something that works across not only those use cases and those languages, but you want it well integrated with everything else you've got. And that's where this concept of having it enterprise grade really comes in. I would say we're halfway into that journey, but we now have the right strategy to truly, you know, build it into a microservices architecture and make it such so that way an enterprise will see that consistent and a differentiated experience throughout. For automation, we've automated right now three use cases already that we see very big from an RPA perspective. And over the next year, we believe we'll have actually 10 of these bots running, which will ultimately help us increase the margin and as well as increase customer satisfaction, because we'll be able to resolve a lot of the problems that happen automatically. We're also trialing this technology internally. And then I think the third bit of this is more aspirational, which is, you know, these bits around as people get into, say, smart buildings, you know, what our field forces can do, what things like field glasses can do. So I would say these are more further out from an innovation perspective and out of the possible. But the other two pieces are much more mainstream. So back to you, Courtney. Hope that helped.
That's great. At the moment, I'm going to let John go back maybe with one more question, if he's got one.
I do. Thank you, Vishal and Courtney. Maybe just a question on your competitive positioning. It's clear that Stealth and ClearPath Forward are best-in-class products. You've talked about some of the advantages that your internally developed AI can give your customers. Where else do you see clear competitive advantages in your product stack, number one? And number two, amongst your competitors, who do you see that's actually close to you in doing the things that you can do, whether it's security or reducing costs or optimizing the workflow and modernizing things?
Sure. That's a great question. So I think from an advantage perspective, as we talk to our customers, we've seen that, to build a winning solution, you need to do two things. Right? You need to build the right thing, and you need to build it right. To build the right thing, you have to partner very, very closely with leading customers because they know the pain. A lot of reasons why products sometimes don't get the traction, the thing they'll get is because they don't solve the right problem, right? Or they don't solve it the right way. And so we spend a lot of time in creating a very strong product management capability that gives us a very strong listening port with the customers. Typically, when we're creating a product, we at least try to partner with 5 to 7 customers during that building and constantly through the agile method, validating with them whether or not it's hitting the sweet spot. And to give you example of how that manifested for Stealth, for example, we had for Stealth, we compete with obviously people like startups like Lumia, as well as with large companies. But what we saw from the customers was that they said, instead of buying 5 different systems, one for my cloud, one for my IoT devices, like point-of-sale devices, one for my endpoint, I really need more of a platform approach. And this really helped us as we expanded Stealth to do all of those things. It really helped us to differentiate and in a proof of concept, essentially beat some of those competitors easily. The one gap that some of our products have had is they've not necessarily had all of those integration connectors built in, and so that's why we've invested a lot over the last year in building what we call as a SIP, the security integration platform that has done almost like a dozen integrations. Similarly, for both Cloud Forte and IntelliServe, we're building a very strong open source integration layer, which has integration pre-built for the use case type. And that then enables, even if the customer has a different vendor for that same use case, we're able to recreate for the different vendor that integration in a very, very short time. So I think one advantage, by listening very closely to the customer, we're building the right thing. We're building it the right way with the technologies that you see on the right. And then, most importantly, customers want real outcomes and they want them fast. And we're trying to do that by having these integration layers in these platforms, which can give them that speed to outcomes in a fast way. Somebody who we think, what's unique about Unisys is the fact it operates in both federal and enterprise space. Most of our competitors are in one or the other. The second unique thing about us is the fact that we have a very strong R&D heritage, more like a product company, even though we're technology services focused as well, right? So we have several thousand very strong technology engineers who have over 40 years of experience in building strong products. And so we think these two things give us a very strong competitive advantage. Who's coming close? So one of the competitors, who is sometimes a competitor and sometimes a collaborator for us, is Accenture, right? They are close in the way that they obviously attract a very big base of talent. They're very focused also on emerging technologies. And, you know, it's the reason where, because they're seeing, again, us innovate at the scale that we're doing, they want to, you know, we have a lot of cases where they end up partnering with us as well instead of competing, because they realize that sometimes together we can make the market even bigger. So back to you, John.
Okay, that's helpful. Courtney, if there isn't any more, I'd like to ask one more.
Sure, John, go ahead.
Vishal, just with the migration of your clients and apparently everyone in the world to public or hybrid clouds, does this change the economics and especially the upfront economics of the projects and services and contracts that you sign? My impression is that traditional IT services contracts can involve some upfront cash investments, but if you're going on the public cloud where you don't own the infrastructure, it seems like that would be more beneficial to you up front and help you realize margins faster. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question and a very good observation, John. So indeed, you know, as more and more CIOs and CTOs are embracing public cloud, they don't really need a vendor to come in and do that upfront capital expenditure for, you know, buying all the infrastructure, because that's not what the game they want to be in the first place, right? So there's no necessarily big data center to be bought. And so that gives us, I think, an access now to a revenue stream that in the past was not as prominent, right? So it certainly is indeed giving us a very good opportunity to not necessarily have this huge capital expenditure for every large project we take on. But then that also requires, John, for us to have these set of competencies in the area of cloud that I was referencing, whether it's trained people, which we have scaled up so fast, whether it's the technology, whether it's the best practices. And so that's what any company will need to be successful in that space. And that's why we're, you know, creating the competency, and that's why we feel very good about where we are.
Great. Thanks, Vishal. I think that's all we have time for today, Courtney, unless there's any more from the crowd.
Great. So thank you, John, for hosting this with us. Thank you, Vishal, for your time this morning. Hopefully everybody found this to be a helpful perspective into you know, a piece of the business that I think a lot of people know at a high level but might not have been aware of all the updates and progress we've been making recently. And thank you to everybody who has dialed in to listen and for the questions that we did receive. So. With that, I think we'll wrap things up, but thanks again to everybody.
The conference has now concluded. We thank everyone for attending today's presentation, and you may now disconnect your lines.